Volvo, the last word in safety on the road. Volvo, proud sponsors of The Last Word on Today FM.
It's time for The Last Word on Wheels. Michael Sheridan is with us, as he is every Thursday here on The Last Word on Today FM. And on Tuesday night, we were talking about Uber debacle early in the week. Maybe that's a bit strong, but you know, a lot of people are giving out now about self-driving autonomous cars, that they're too dangerous and can't be trusted. And I don't want to go back into that tonight, but I am interested in the idea of how many features do we have in the modern car that many people are maybe have bought in the last 2 or 3 years, which are bringing us close to autonomous driving.
The wonderful thing is the apocalypse and the scary sci-fi movie scene of cars just driving over people. Christine, that old classic movie that was probably in the back of designers' heads. We're getting closer to using all of the tech that's available and that they're using to the nth degree to make autonomous cars becoming available in your regular car.
So, with the proviso that still there's a human behind the steering wheel using all these things.
Humans are absolutely critical and totally essential. But the best example of which is, we've talked before about city braking. Emergency city braking is one of these things where if you have a moment of inattention, the car will use the same radars, the same sort of laser guidance sensors and so on, all of this science fiction gizmos, to sense whether it's going to collide with something and apply the brakes, saying, this human isn't paying attention, I'm going to put the brakes on. Now, it does that as a last resort. So if you're paying attention, these things never activate. But if you're not, for say you looked over your shoulder, you dropped something, whatever, moments in attention in slow moving traffic, you could easily have a ding with the car in front. This will stop that happening. So in terms of saving
a fortune... This is not exactly new, is it? Because I remember it must be 6 years ago, Anton Savage and myself went and tested. It was a Volvo at the time, which was bringing that in. But presumably, as well as Volvo, lots of companies have actually brought that into their modern cars.
And from the smallest cars right through, if Volkswagen, to their credit, with the Up, which is a tiny little city car, which is a terrific economical four-seater petrol car, super for nipping around the place. You can get one for about 15 grand brand new. It has it as standard. So for people who are using it in the urban environments, car companies are starting to take care. Now, the only trouble is, until they reach a certain point of economies of scale, these things are cost options. And what we know traditionally for years is people often chose the CD player before the anti-lock brakes and so on. People, if they don't see the thing, don't necessarily see the value. But with crashes and collisions and rising insurance costs, it's important that we are aware of these and that they're available with most manufacturers.
I mentioned to you the other night when you were with us on Tuesday about the fact that the self-driving or autonomous car has 360 vision because of everything there with the radar, the lasers, the cameras, the GPS, all the rest of it. Whereas a human driver has got restricted, has blind spots and can only look in one direction at a particular time, has some peripheral vision. Are those things like the radar and the lasers and the cameras and the GPS all been put into cars as things stand now?
Pretty much. The one thing that we don't have openly or commonly available is this spinning, you see a spinning dome on top of these self-driving cars, which are continually mapping and shaping what's around the car and painting a picture electronically for the car. We do it and we take it for granted ourselves when we look around and just observe the traffic around us. But simple things like Bliss, this blind spot indicator, which is a little amber flashing light which will pop up in a wing mirror if this is fitted to your car. It's quite common and it's a very low cost tick. It is a little sensor which looks directly into your blind spot where you'd look over your shoulder to see if there's a vehicle there, and it will flash amber if there's something in your blind spot. So that will save you going into somebody else's lane when they're too close to you. So this is available right now. The parking radars that we use that make the beep beep noise when you reverse into places, those radars are being used so that if you reverse out of a parking space, it'll sense whether a car is coming along
or
and
a
it'll
pedestrian.
Prevent a collision. Or a pedestrian.
Because
exactly.
I think that's the terror for lots of people when they're actually reversing out of car parking spots or reversing out of driveways
and
or
particularly
whatever.
Particularly in SUVs, Matt, when you think about it, with the height, added height, a child easily disappears below the window line. Whereas before, you'd look out the side window of your car, you'd easily see the head of a five-year-old. But now in an SUV, you wouldn't at all. They could be completely below and out of your vision. So all of these sensors are there to help us become more aware of what's around us. Now, they do have a cost, but that cost, thankfully, is coming down. So with every generation of car that we're delivered, more and more of these things are standard. And then companies like Euro NCAP, who do all the crash testing, they're demanding of Europe that more things become, more safety features become standard, and we're getting them slowly but surely.
And then you have things like lane keeping
assistant is fantastic. Before, we used to have lane departure warning, which was a camera you'd have on the top of your windscreen. It would look forward, it would see, recognise the white lines, the road markings, which wasn't always a case. If you went into rural Ireland, you didn't frequently have lane markings. But now the cameras have become so advanced that they will detect when the car is straying out of its lane, and they will also, because of electronic power steering, they will intervene with the motor to give a little nudge of the steering back into the lane. So these will keep you in your lane should you stray. And again, it's one of those things where if people are, for whatever reason, they had a big lunch and they had maybe had a pint, or they were for whatever reason a bit distracted or on medication that was making them a bit drowsy, these things can potentially prevent huge costs for insurance and for claims, and potentially save lives.
Stop you weaving out in front of a car on the other side of the road.
And actually, our dear friends, even Volvo, have taken it one step further, because now they have a system which looks forward, which will see if you're verging off a road that isn't even marked. So if you were going to go off the road, say if you were on a mountain pass or if you were on a road where there was a sharp ditch, it can sense whether your car is actually going to in danger of going in and catching the ditch and pulling itself off the road. And it will intervene, it'll give you an audible alert, and it will steer you back onto the track you intended.
What about fully adaptive cruise control?
These things are brilliant. Remember cruise control, you could press a button and it was basically the same thing as putting a brick on your accelerator. It would hold the car at a steady speed. Now, normal cruise control holds it at a steady speed, but everybody knows as soon as you come up against slow-moving traffic or something else, the car will keep going at that set speed. Adaptive cruise control uses forward radar to sense how close objects are in front and keep a set gap. So you can set the distance to the vehicle in front, and your car will autonomously slow down to keep that gap to the car in front. If the car in front then accelerates away and goes faster than you've set your speed at, your car will happily go up to the speed you set it at, and so on. The latest systems, these are all standard and autonomous cars, but the latest systems will bring the car to a full stop, and when the traffic moves off again, start the car off again, and it won't let you collide with the car in front.
I know that lots of listeners at times have complained about how people use their fog lights and how they don't dip their lights at appropriate times. Intelligent LED matrix lights, how many cars actually have those and what do they do?
Okay, these are really cool. And to be honest, anybody who uses the word matrix in anything is a winner in my book. It's a type of LED lighting. Now, LED lights, you've seen them on the road. They're whiter. They literally have this sort of brilliant white light that you see. And because they're not bulbs, they last longer. But they're expensive. The price is gradually coming down. The premium brands use them. Your likes of Audi, Volvo, BMW, they all have access to the suppliers of these and will happily fit them because that's the demand that their customers have. They want to have this additional thing. But you'll find them now also in Opel. Opel have them in their insignia. And matrix LED headlights will give you a range of up to 400 meters vision. And that's as far as the human eye at nighttime can see or make out definition. So for driving at nighttime, having the ability to illuminate the road up ahead is fantastic. But what these clever adaptive lights do is they shape themselves around cars. So if I was following you, Matt, and I had my lights on, I could leave my lights on automatic headlight in my car, and it would shape, it would put a little dip around where your car is so you're not dazzled. But either side of your car, it could light up like a Christmas tree.
That's tremendous technology.
And if another car comes towards in the other lane, it'll recognise that one and it will dip out of the way. I know Mercedes have a fantastic system as well. And I remember getting a demo of that. And I think it can recognise up to 7 different vehicles or shapes, which you don't want to dazzle, but it will light everything else around it. And then when you go to go around a corner, they can even tie up with your GPS to know that there's a corner coming, and they'll in advance light up the area of the corner where you're going to be making your turn. And this is phenomenal because it makes our ability to move and get around the place in all weathers and at all sort of conditions and at all ages much more easy. Because when you think, as people age, their mobility, the movement of their neck and their shoulders, their ability to sort of swivel and look around and observe as fully and make quick decisions sort of will deteriorate. But these will replace that and will give you the reflexes of, you know, of a Usain Bolt. So all of these things are there and they are available. The trouble is they're a cost option. And like everything, until there's enough people saying, I want that option, the economies of scale will mean the prices, you know, will be an additional cost, but they're so well worth getting.
OK, one other thing I want to ask you about, and we were talking about, you know, we talked about autonomous driving and the fact that people won't have to drive their car. As a stepping stone, what about autonomous parking?
Autonomous parking, it's with us. We have autopilot, autopark, all of these. Now, all the companies, you'd love to shake them all, get them in the room and say, look, come up with just one name, lads, will you, for these things? And all of the acronyms and all of these three-letter acronyms we get. Because there's slight differences, they'll all come up with different names. But if you ask your dealership, does this have auto parking? You can go into a Ford dealership, you can get a Ford Focus or even a Fiesta, small cars with this facility. What they do is you'll be, once you drive at a slow enough speed, up to maybe I think 15 kilometres an hour with your indicator on and the system activated, it will sense, using radar sensors, whether there is an actual gap in a row of parked cars.
So this is for parallel parking. This We're not talking about going into a shopping centre or a car park where you go into a dedicated space head on. This is for parallel parking.
Oh no, but they will do the head on parking as well. And different cars will do varying degrees of it. Mercedes, BMW, again, they've the systems which will perpendicular park, and even systems where you can get out of the car and you can move the car with your phone. So by twiddling your finger in a circle on your app, you can actually let the car get into a space or get out of a space. But it identifies the space using radar, which again, autonomous cars will have. It sees a gap, and once it's within a certain parameter, it will then take over your steering, because again, we've got electro-hydraulic steering or electromechanical steering in a lot of cars. So it can control the motor of the steering. So it will do the steering for you. You select reverse gear. It'll accelerate, it'll move into the space, turn the steering, it'll apply the brakes, it'll move forward, it'll get itself positioned with you just watching it. And the great thing is,
it's like playing a video game.
If somebody comes in and they park even too tightly, there's a lot of these cars have features to get out of that space. So with as little as 15 centimetres in the front and the rear of the car will get itself out of that space where, God forbid, if we could say something as bad as you had to go and find some fella who could take it out of that parking space or volunteer to park a car. Do you remember those dark days years ago in the 70s when things were black and white? Men used to help women park. I know this is going to get a whole lot of outrage, but now there's systems where men, we can just get lost. The car can do anything, and men are as bad as parking as women at the worst of times, and this can save blushes.
Just to finish, something that just struck me as we were chatting there. You were with us on Tuesday night, Randy O'Donoghue. We were talking about the Uber crash, which unfortunately killed a pedestrian, whether this would set back the arrival of autonomous driving. I believe it'll happen for everybody, and it may take a bit of time yet to get the technology right. There'll all be the transition between people who want to use their cars before they have to shell out on one of these new self-autonomous cars. But do you think we're going to reach a stage in the future where driving is effectively going to be a video game pursuit? That it's going to be something that you might be playing Grand Theft Auto or something similar.
Pretty much.
And that's the only actual time that you'll feel in control of a car.
We'll look back at this time and say, do you remember the time when people could drive a car themselves?
So it might be sort of a virtual reality game.
It could be a novelty. It could be a pastime. It could be a hobby for people. Because to be honest, shuttles and mobilities and all other things, which we call cars, but they're going to change. Those things will become a reality, and they will keep people mobile for decades longer than, say, you know, at the moment you have to renew your license at 70 every year and get a medical doctor to sign you off on it. But people are going to be mobile in those shuttles all the time. But we will look back at a time and say, do you remember when you used to actually steer a steering wheel? And I've sat into these cars and I've been driven in fully autonomous cars where there has been no steering wheel whatsoever. You do get used to it. It's happening. It's coming down the tracks. I think enjoy your driving now. And even if you're stuck in a jam at this minute, just have a little smile to yourself. At least you're in control of what you're doing.
Michael Sheridan, as ever, thank you very much for joining us here for The Last Word on Wheels.
Volvo, the last word in safety on the road. Volvo, proud sponsors of The Last Word on Today FM.